Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby, and this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were live from Wembley before the big fight between Anthony Yard and Artur Beterbiev, and we built up to that. Oh, we also talk football, of course, because Stan Collymore joined us to give us a few FA Cup upsets or potential ones and look at the big games in the Falls panel. We'll bring you that. We'll also bring you the Martin Kellner's Week of Sport on TV. And what else are we going to do? That'll be it. I think that should keep you going. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. It's very exciting to be here, isn't it?
Yeah, first time. This is a fantastic facility. Wembley, if you've been to Wembley, been to games at Wembley, Wembley Way and the facilities on Wembley have changed a lot in last 5-6 years. And this is the Drum. It's a big kind of community centre, and it's got...
It's shaped like a drum. And I'm saying to John, where's the drum?
And like the great big drum right in front of your face. But it is a fantastic facility. This is where... The weigh-in is taking place for the undercard and indeed the main event, Yard versus Beterbiev, which is, as we said, live on TalkSport tomorrow night. And in the build-up to this, Andy, we've been doing our research and watching video of the fighters and stuff. And it is a fascinating fight, this.
It is an exciting prospect, actually. And I'm fascinated by the boxing crowd. It's not exactly Henley, is it? To be honest.
Well, no, it isn't. But why would you expect it to be? I think you find this fight isn't part of the season. Such a snob. Punters will be coming in to watch just to our right here. They're obviously, as always, you'll be seeing these pictures, I'm sure, if you go to the YouTube boxing channel. All set up for the weigh-in.
I know, we're turning our back on the camera now. Sorry
and
about that.
As you've been working on your Cockney rhyming slang, Andy, which I know that you often speak in.
Yeah.
So what will the boxers be standing on for the weigh-in?
The prunellas.
The prunellas, of course, yeah. Just leap. Go on, boys, just leap on the old prunellas. Be good.
It will be.
Be great
good.
If Beterbiev takes that back to Canada, won't it? Yeah, just, I've got on the old prunellas, and I was a pound heavier than I thought I'd be.
I'm dying to sing to him. Big-hearted Arthur.
He'll know that, yeah. He'll be a big fan of Arthur Askey.
I was thinking, I'm going to ask the boxer. You know, he's got a very bushy beard.
He has, yeah, yeah.
He's a brilliant fighter. But if Yard does catch him on the bit, does it sort of...
Cushion the blow?
Cushion the blow a bit?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, these are light heavyweights.
I'm not prepared to try it out.
Heavyweight. I don't think there's a great deal of cushioning in a wispy beard, really, if a light heavyweight's banging you on the chin.
It's quite a thick beard. So,
you're saying there's some kind of... Well, he's got something in it. He's got some sort of metal contraption in there.
No, I'm not.
No. Anyway.
I don't think he needs that.
Yeah, so we'll be bringing the weigh-in live. It will get a bit noisy. Hopefully you'll be able to hear us, understandably. All of our boxing experts who are with you tomorrow night on TalkSport for the fight are here. Gareth A. Davis.
Whirlwind.
The force of nature that is. Spencer Oliver, of course, former fighter, one of our top pundits.
John said to me, reckon he could take Spencer Oliver. I said, you couldn't.
Actually, he didn't say that.
He didn't say that. He absolutely did.
Well, yeah, good luck with that.
He said because he was taller than Spencer.
Yeah.
I mean, Spencer.
I used to work with a former boxer years and years ago, Terry Marsh.
Yeah.
And I did a couple of things with Terry, media things. And he taught me through, after one of his fights, he taught me through his fight. And the way he did it was to basically have punches whistling past my head.
Oh, really?
He just said, so I dipped then, and I could feel the wind off of these
That's
punches.
That's not good, is it?
And honestly, yeah. I mean, Terry was not a big guy, but I wouldn't want to be hit by
any
him.
Of
so
these blokes.
John has got no chance no in that chance. Particular matchup.
They're all one punch, really. You wouldn't that be it, wouldn't it? So, yeah. But it is exciting. Quite a good crowd in, actually.
Yeah, big crowd in. Obviously, very big media event. So we're going to be...
It's interesting because I did, you know, not like me, but I did a bit of research last night.
Yeah, I know. It's a shock. I was quite shocked to hear that.
And then you realise this fight has gone a bit under the radar because it's really an exciting prospect.
Yeah. I mean, Spencer and Gareth and the gang are going to be telling you more about it later on. But effectively... Beterbiev is 18-0, all of them within the distance. He's not gone.
No,
he's not gone
18
the
fights, 18 knockouts.
Yeah, effectively stoppages on
knockouts.
A
very long amateur career.
Yeah,
so.
And he is a tough man. But, I mean, Anthony Yard's record is good as well, but he's very much the underdog. I think he's 8-1 against at the moment. But as people have been saying,
he's learned from past fights and, you know, he feels confident. So.
This is going to be a really exciting fight. The chances of it, I think only... And he's probably gone the distance once in a fight, 12 rounds.
He's not going to go the distance.
So it's going to be a really, really exciting, explosive fight. So you don't want to miss that on TalkSport
tomorrow.
There was
really a brilliant interview with Beterbiev by Donald McRae in The Guardian today. And he said he's a really quite hard bloke to interview. So I doubt whether we'll get him on, but we might. You never
know. Gareth will tell you. Gareth spoke to him a little bit earlier on. He says he resides, he's born in Russia, but he's a Canadian citizen and has lived there for a number of years. And, hopefully we hear from both fighters. I mean, obviously, they got their game faces in. You were saying earlier on, we'll have a chat with Anthony about being an Arsenal fan. I think he's going to be quiet.
No, I don't think he's going to be
I think he's going to be quiet. Hopefully we'll catch up with Frank Warren, the promoter, as well, too. I mean, he can probably talk a bit of Arsenal. He hasn't got a fight tomorrow night, as far as I know.
He can talk a bit of Harry Hill. We'll have more of that later.
Yes.
But I'm fascinated by Everton, this idea that it could be Bielsa or Dyche. What a brilliant recruitment plan. They're so similar, aren't they?
Yeah.
Marcelo always says, es mi trabajo, por cierto. It's my job, by the way.
Beautiful. We are going to have a chat with Stan Collymore about that. Stan's joining us. He's picked three games that he thinks that we could see a bit of a giant killing in. He's with us at Wembley today. And then we'll have the Falls panel. I think we're going to bring in Gareth A. Davis because it may be a bit easier today.
Two men who are looking tremendous. Stan looks amazing.
Stan's been, I think he's making the weight. He's cut, isn't he? He's in good shape, isn't
and
he?
Gareth
and
well,
Gareth
as well.
And Gareth, the two of them. Now, maybe they'll be on the undercard. So,
can we get somebody on who's a bit flabby? Make me feel better.
Well, look, you're here, Andy.
That's true. So, just look in a mirror.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
I mean, you are in a room full of boxers and boxing people, so you ain't going to find flabby people.
No, they all look quite
maybe one or
condition.
Two of the people who are watching.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here live from the drama at Wembley ahead of Yard versus Beterbiev tomorrow night. Beterbiev, which does sound like a supermarket somewhere in Eastern Europe. But I'm not saying that to his face.
No, don't.
But Gareth's put us right on that.
I won't ask him about the beard either.
No, I wouldn't, whether it cushions the blows. Anyway, we've got a massive weekend of football on TalkSport and TalkSport 2. 9 matches for you starting tonight. One of the games we'll feature in the Falls panel, obviously, will be Manchester City versus Arsenal. But joining us now for the Falls panel, and indeed to give us his thoughts on some potential upsets in the fourth round, is Stan Collymore. Stan, lovely to see you.
Phoenix from the flames.
Yeah.
It's like putting on an old pair of slippers, putting this microphone on and seeing you, Per.
Yeah,
it's
lovely to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
Great to see you.
Before we talk about the games, it looks like it is going to be Sean Dyche. As Andy was saying earlier on, very different sort of recruitment take on it, really. Bielsa and Dyche, very different managers. But I don't know if you sense that maybe Dyche is the right man for this moment.
He is. I think that Bielsa would be a match made in hell. And the reason why that is, when he went to Leeds United... He had a lot of young players that had played at lower levels in the English pyramid. And he goes in as this sort of godlike maverick figure. And he was able to mould them. And mould them into a very good, aggressive, front foot championship team that goes into the Premier League. But let's not forget that Bielsa's record, the reason why he did leave his post was because they conceded a lot of goals and they were very naive. Sean Dyche, I think, is the opposite. He is a guy that will... He likes a big front man, although I think that the comparisons with Sam Allardyce and Tony Pulis in the modern generation is erroneous, because I think that his Burnley teams at times did get the ball down and play good football. Mm. But with somebody like a Dominic Calvert-Lewin, people like Tarkowski and McNeil that he's worked with at Burnley, he would have an opportunity to say, we've got a function, we're going to be good at corners and set pieces, attacking and defending. He can communicate clearly with the players that Bielsa would have potentially an issue with. He's obviously got the translator. And I think that Dyche is an obvious choice and would be a good move now. 18-month contract, Dyche would probably snap their hands off for that. Bielsa just would be one of the oddest moves.
Yeah.
Because Everton, you know, they've had 12 more years in the English top flight than any other club, and they're very proud of that, one of the founding members. So to go in with an experimental Bielsa approach in the run-in where they could get relegated for the first time in living memory would be a very, very odd choice. So Sean Dyche for me all day long.
Yeah,
they've just got to stay up with the new stadium and all that. So
yeah, yeah. And that's a very good point about McNeil as well. I mean, they haven't really
Tarkovsky,
got a tune.
You need a trusty lieutenant or two in the dressing room. So if you can go in as a manager or as a head coach and have two or three people that you already know, you know, Dominic Calvert-Lewin hasn't had a great season. Iwobi effectively was a converted front man.
Yeah.
So he could go to some sort of 4-4-2 and have wide men crosses. And I think that Sean, at this stage of his career, because of the clubs that he's managed prior to, he's never had the chance to have one of the big boys. And I think that Ian Wone, that was one of my teammates at Nottingham Forest, in a very good Nottingham Forest team, is his assistant. People like Steve Stone as well, who I played with at Forest, he would could possibly join Sean Dyche. So there's this sort of Forest element there. Is that I think that Sean Dyche for Everton, to keep them up, and then to consolidate, and then they can look at the Bielsas down the line if they stay in the Premier League.
He needs a pre-season as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
His whole thing is predicated on getting them really fit.
And I think that's probably put him off, even if they were going to go down that route, really. So, well, let's have a look at some of the games down the way. You can smell a bit of an upset. We're going to have the Fools panel coming up where we'll look at one or two of our commentary games. But we're going to start off on Monday night with Derby West Ham. I mean, Derby on a really decent run at the moment.
I didn't realise that.
What happens when you start to go from the madness of an old owner that we obviously know what the situation was with Derby 2 or 3 years ago? Wayne Rooney goes and leaves and goes to the United States, and the club were down to the bare bones. And I keep my eye on what's going on. Lots of clubs and speak to people at lots of clubs. And Paul Warne, the job that he's done with younger players, they've had waifs and strays that have come in, the players that have been there for several years. I mean, they're 19 games unbeaten now in League One. And I always thought as a player that, particularly in the FA Cup, that when you get to the third round, fourth round, fifth round, and you are in good form in the Championship or in League One or in non-league, you'll take on anybody because you've just got that winning feeling. They had a good win, I think, 2 or 3 days ago away against Port Vale. They're fourth in League One, so there's a chance that they're going to be in the playoff shake-up, similar to Sunderland, to be able to go back into the Championship, more money, more spotlight. And against the West Ham that might make changes.
Yeah.
No Danny Ings, he's been injured when he's at Villa, so he takes that with him. I think that Derby County could beat West Ham by the odd goal.
That's interesting.
Yeah. No, there is every chance. Another one was Fulham-Sunderland, Stan. I mean, Sunderland will take a lot to Craven Cottage. It'll be pretty lively atmosphere.
Yeah, those 5,000 or 6,000 Macams that like to turn up in Trafalgar Square and sort of foam the place. Another club that you get the feeling that they've turned a corner and they're on the up. Tony Mowbray isn't the sexiest manager in the world, but with Mark Venus, funny enough, I was an apprentice at Wolves, and Mark Venus was one of the pros back in the old Steve Bull days when they were winning fourth division and third division titles, is that they do the basics very well. They'll put a team together that is competitive, a team that is honest, and they would look to shift on any characters that they didn't feel fit with what Tony Mowbray was a player. He's a very honest stand-up centre-half. Lost one of the last seven. They're 1 point off the playoffs, so they can very much go into it and say, look, this is potentially a bonus game. Beautiful day by the River Thames. We're going to be taking loads of supporters behind that away end goal. And I just looked at who Fulham have got the bench. They've got some good players on the bench. Harry Wilson, Tom Kearney, Chalabar, Dan James. So I wonder if Silva might think, we're not far off a European spot here. Would the FA Cup at this time, if we got one or two key injuries. So I think they may make three or four changes.
Yeah.
And that might get Sunderland, potentially, if things went well, in with a shout.
They've got Chelsea next Friday night.
You're thinking about it, Andy. Yeah. You think, well, they're seventh in the league, you know, and they've had a fantastic season. They've got a goal scorer that's scoring goals in the Premier League, and they're creating plenty of chances. The mood at Fulham is very positive. We're not talking, as we did several years ago, about ownership issues. But I do wonder if they'll make changes and think, well, somebody like Dan James, he should be able to play against Sunderland at Craven Cottage. But I do think that Sunderland could go there and create an upset. I don't think it's as obvious as the Derby one, because I think that Derby, I genuinely think Derby will beat West Ham. But I could certainly see Sunderland going there and creating issues.
Now, we wouldn't have said this a while back, certainly when you were playing for them, but Brighton versus Liverpool, it doesn't feel like, wouldn't be a massive shock in light of what happened in the league and,
well,
and the form of the two teams.
You've got an ageing Liverpool squad meeting a younger group of players that are probably not ready to come in. I saw the Liverpool-Chelsea game and I thought that I looked at Liverpool, and whereas 3 or 4 years ago you had 24 to 27 year olds playing at their very best, winning almost everything there was to win in front of them and going head to head against Manchester City. The problem is Manchester City can refresh very quickly. Chelsea can refresh very quickly and are doing. Liverpool's problem is, are they going to invite a small investor, small as in multi-millions, but FSG own the majority shareholding, or FSG going to sell? But if they maintain the status quo, FSG don't have the money of Todd Bowley, they don't have the money of the Saudis, they don't have the money of Abu Dhabi. So at the minute, you're seeing this weird hybrid of household names playing out of position, some injured players, players that are playing out of form, and youngsters that are coming in that are not quite ready for Liverpool Football Club. I see this as a Brighton going through, and I see this as Jurgen looking at the squad, particularly if you look back at the team that they played against Chelsea, which wouldn't have been a Liverpool team playing against Chelsea 18 months ago, 2 years ago, and he'll make plenty of changes. Brighton to win again, 2 or 3 nil.
Yeah, they only won the other week, didn't they?
So yeah, that's definitely right. And the job that De Zerbi has done, taking over from Potter, and I know from speaking to the guys at Brighton, they always earmark De Zerbi. This wasn't, oh, we need somebody, Potter's gone. They had a short list when Graham Potter was there, knowing that someone would come in. It's the forward plan at that club is amazing.
It's structure, and it's having a plan. Manchester United for a decade threw names at a board, and we looked at the names and said, well, three of them are from this manager, four of them are from this manager, so how on earth do you expect them to be able to be a coherent team? Beyond that, they didn't have a structure of a good technical director, director of football. Everton, the same. You look at Everton's woes, a lot of it's been around £700 million they spent to be second bottom in the league. Most of that was down to poor recruitment. If you look at Brighton, what Tony Bloom has done has been incredible. And I'm a massive fan of Brentford as well. Tony Bloom and Matthew Benham were good friends for a long time. And their idea of...
Not now.
it's a great story. It'll probably be a film at some stage. But fell out. But the way that they look at how football clubs run are, if you put the right pieces in the jigsaw from top to bottom, and you have really good recruitment people, you have an open door policy that everybody communicates and comes up with joint decisions, you are going to get very good players. The only thing I would say about Brighton is they have to be very careful of not going down the Southampton road. I know that on the station in recent days there have been various debates about sort of Brighton letting Trossard go and other players potentially going for big money. Even Brighton aren't going to have... we're going to let our best player go, we're automatically going to bring another one in. So we know with Southampton, they were effectively left with their one major asset, James Ward-Prowse, that stayed.
Yeah.
Is that I would be really upset if in 2 years from now, Brighton had gutted their squad, selling players to Liverpool and Man City for 30, 40, 60 million and not replacing them.
Yeah, I mean, so far, they've always been able to do that. They've always had the next cab off the rank and they've replaced Bissouma with Caicedo. If he goes, I wouldn't be at all surprised if they've got someone else lined up.
Somebody said Todd Bowley should have bought Brighton.
Yeah,
he had a point.
Well, it's funny because I spoke to Graham Potter. I went down to Cobham. It was before Chelsea lost against Brighton.
Yeah.
I don't know what your thoughts of him, Andy. I've got a feeling that you're not sold yet.
No.
I think that Chelsea, and I said I did a column the other week, and I got a load of stick from Arsenal fans saying, I said that the Chelsea project long term was better than Arsenal. They've got more money. They've got a guy that will want to step out of the shadows of Roman Abramovich. Not just about spending money, but wanting to get the success. They traditionally, in all the UEFA underage tournaments, have been able to provide players. They've always had a really good recruitment system for finding younger players. So I think that Graham Potter, as a coach of young players and having a system, you have to get to the end of the season. You've then got to give him the window. And I think that Bowley at the moment, because we've heard nothing from him, he's stepping back and said, I had the conversation with you before you signed that it was going to be difficult. You're not a massive name. Chelsea have been used to the sugar rush of, if it doesn't work, let's change it. We're going to go down this different route. And I think that if they continue it for another 18 months without fans getting edgy or tense, that the likes of Mudrick...
This window has been a lot better. The first window was just bonkers.
It was a bit scattergun.
Bloke went out and spent all that money, didn't know what he was doing.
I think the thing is, Andy, is that somebody coming into a club like Chelsea and having the success that they had in the Roman Abramovich era, he's naturally going to be, well, I'm the man now and I want to give Chelsea fans that.
Yeah.
Instead of just looking at it and having a more of a strategic approach, I think you'll see probably 5 or 6, maybe 7 going in the summer. I know they're talking about giving Thiago Silva an extension on his contract, and I think that would be a good move, A, because he's played well, but B, he would be a good mentor for players coming through. You've got to have your senior players.
Yeah.
But I think Chelsea, 4 years hence, God willing, if we're having this conversation, I think there will be a force again.
Got to be patient,
Andy. I'm very happy.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Joining us now with a week of sport on TV, as always in this time on a Friday, it is squad number 9, Martin Kellner. Hi, Martin.
Hello, boys. You all right?
Yeah, we're not so bad. Yeah, we're in a boxing frenzy this afternoon. I don't know if you're covering boxing or not, but what's on the agenda with you today?
Well, what's on the agenda? Question of sport. Now, I'll tell you the reason I watched that. I got an email from one of my dedicated listeners saying I used to be quite acid when I wrote for The Guardian, you know, did sport on TV, complaining that I wasn't acid enough on this show. And I sort of tried to explain that I could, you know, a lot of the people that I probably used to slag off in The Guardian years ago probably working for Talk Sport now. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to turn up and
have a go at that feeds, Martin.
Precisely. I'm not going to turn up and have a go at Sam Matterface. So I thought, well, what can I watch? I thought, I'll watch Question of Sport. There's bound to be something, can I have a go at there? But in actual fact, this is front page. This is front page news. It's not bad. I prefer it to you know, the old Question of Sport.
Do you really?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I thought the questions were quite good. I had fun answering those. Paddy McGuinness, I think, is a likeable host. Sam Quack and Hugo Monnier, the captains, they were all right. They had Stephen Hendry and Martin O'Fire, a couple of the guests, Steve Redgrave, Sally Gunnell. I thought, well, this is fairly harmless. And at the end of it, I mean, I won't be watching it again, but at the end of it, I thought to myself, well, this is okay. So I watched that. The other thing I wanted to talk about, which is annoying me a little bit, is on Sky Sports News, the graphic that counts down to the end of the transfer window. So I'm watching Sky Sports News. I was particularly interested in TPEG Gate. You know,
yes.
Rory McIlroy was giving an interview about Patrick Reid throwing the tea peg at him and all that and subpoenaed him. So I was watching that, but I couldn't take my eyes off the graphic at the bottom, which said 6 days, 9 hours, 56 minutes, 23 seconds. And it counts down in seconds, which you could, it's like you're watching your life slipping away. You know, for those of us who... you're probably closer to the end than the beginning. You're looking at this and thinking, I don't really want to know that these hours and minutes and whatever, they could lose that graphic for me personally. So it's just a word to Sky Sports there. The other thing I watched was, well, I watched a thing called Captains, which is a FIFA production, so obviously FIFA's own particular
angle. So it's quite hard-hitting and...
Exactly. It's on Netflix, the story of six captains. It's a full, well, 73 production, so they know what they're doing with these sort of access all areas-ish type programmes. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, captain of Gabon. I didn't know the backstory of him and his father, Pierre Francis or François Aubameyang, who was also a footballer. But it was
is the other one a footballer as well? I hadn't noticed.
Very good.
He's very anti Aubameyang with Chelsea at the moment, I'm afraid.
Well, perhaps this will explain Aubameyang to you, Andy. According to Joseph Tander, who was one of the talking heads, he's a professor of sociology at Omar Bongo University. He says his father educated him according to the morals of a patrilineal society. So that would sort of explain the whole thing. The best scene is where they go in the wardrobe of the dad. And I've never seen so many colourful shirts. I think iridescent is... if you look at these shirts, they say a whole wardrobe full of these shirts. And very much... They're sort of like the shirts...
Is it giving you a bit of a taste for a Martin? Will we be seeing you on overnights? They'll go down well in Kuala Lumpur. None of those
absolutely.
Shirts.
They'll love it out there. But they were sort of... Looking at the shirt, it was like an explosion in a paint factory. You looked at these shirts... And you thought, there's a whole bunch of shirts rejected by Timmy Mallett for being too colourful. It was just unbelievable. So there was a lot of the stuff with the dad. Member of the Fang tribe, actually, if you're interested in tribal background.
Wow. And there were other artists.
Yes, it was very much a FIFA programme. So you had a focus on Brian Kaltak, who you may or may not know is the manager, is the captain of Vanuatu. Vanuatu is one of those.
No, I didn't, Martin. No. I'll be honest. If that was a triv question, I would have been struggling.
I am interested in one of your things you're talking about, the test, because I watched the first series. I absolutely loved this.
Yeah, it's great. Almost started liking not the Australian cricket.
I didn't realise there was a second season.
Yes, it's just started. Brand new second season on Prime Video, described as unscripted, emotional, exciting. Three of the Spice Girls who never quite made it. So that's... Yeah. I just thought I'd throw that in. It's a bit of an overnight one that we use. Yes, thank you. It's nice and sweary. Obviously, it covers a lot of interesting Tim Payne and Justin Langer going within 12 weeks, both of them gone. The 2021-22 Ashes campaign, Tim Payne, very tearful, standing down because of lewd text messages. Pat Cummins, you know, they cover him. And with as with all these sort of access all areas type things, we get a scene at him home with his baby. You know, they always pretend that they're, you know, feeding the baby and all that, whatever it is. I mean, he was in the video. Yeah. The first fast bowler to captain Australia since who, Andy?
That been?
Yeah. That's a good question, actually.
Glenn McGrath? Did he?
No, Dennis
Lilley? No, it's since Ray Lindwall in 1956.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
There you go. Some two trivia questions you can ask there. Just if you've got time.
Yeah, what about that and Vanuatu, mine?
Yeah, there you go. If you've got time, I watched the Nottingham Forest Manchester United match, and I don't know whether he's ever done it on Talk Sport, but hugely impressed with John McGovern's impersonation of Brian Clough. It's absolutely.
Oh, wow.
I mean, in many ways, he's impersonating not Rory Bremner, who was the one before Rory Bremner.
Mike Yarwood.
Mike Yarwood, yeah.
Mike he was impersonating,
I think he was a cornerstone of John's after-dinner set. I mean, myself and Max met him when we went up the Forest for a game last year. And yeah, he's very good. He's the stories are great, obviously. He was front and centre. Brilliant. He was a witness to it all.
And Roy Keane was saying, obviously he worked under Clough at Nottingham Forest, and was saying that, you know, how much affection he had for Brian Clough. He said, although he did punch me once after a game, and of course they all they all chipped in with, yeah, different times. But there is which sort of covers almost anything, doesn't it? Different times. There is a very fine line, I've always said, between bullying and brilliant captaincy. That line was straddled by Brian Clough, but it was brilliant to hear those stories. It really was.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Back in the studio on Monday with Danny Kelly and Andy Brassel, looking back over the weekend's football. Don't forget, lots and lots of FA Cup for when the boxing on TalkSport and TalkSport 2 this weekend. We'll catch up with you on Monday. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.